So, staff have been working on that the last few months, and I'll make sure that the work continues on this incredibly difficult project. Anyway, Councillor Hull, to move.
I've got a question. Mr. Mayor, over the years, and it has been years, the council has asked, and in fact moved, quote, move Councillor Hull, second Councillor Vlescu, that the City of Marion Volunteer Program annual report is noted, and that's for 2013. Council acknowledges and thanks all the City of Marion registered volunteers and other volunteers for their significant contribution. And three, and this is the salient point, future reports capture and acknowledge the contribution of both City of Marion registered volunteers and other volunteers working in the City of Marion utilising ABS statistics. Now, the CEO might remember that I asked last year why that wasn't included, and I was asked to forward the resolution. I did that. So we get a report this year, nothing else has happened again. This is a performance issue.
Well, not sure then it can be dealt with in the meeting, but is there a response from management in relation to that?
I can confirm that Councillor Hull is correct, and I'd be pleased to update the report.
Should we put it off? That might be neater than trying to patch it up now. I think so. We have a full agenda, and it's not one that is urgent, so I'd recommend that we move to defer it to the, is it 9th of May? Yeah.
I just have a question.
Sure.
In regards to the ABS data, is that something that's changed every year, or is that something that is only really current after the census at the time?
Mr. Lyons, do you know? Don't know. All right, if in doubt, let's defer it. So, Councillor Hull moving to defer it to the 9th of May. Seconded, Councillor Westwood, all those in favour? That's carried unanimously, thank you. Move on to, I think we've got a couple of matters that are important for the budget. So, page 50, Warriel Park Tennis Club facility improvements. It's great to support a club that's helping itself. Councillor Hull, it's your ward. Your to move.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, there is a bigger story to this proposal than just actually putting money towards a tennis club. In the Warwick Howie ward, Councillor Pryor and myself, we were given the challenge to be part of the rationalisation of tennis, as was the whole council. We played our part in that. There are a couple of tennis courts that will be removed, and the mission was then to actually consolidate the tennis, to have a destination tennis place, if you like. We've talked about destination playgrounds, but this is a destination tennis court, and in fact we actually have people coming from outside the council area using these tennis courts, even as far as Mitcham. I know that for a fact. This club is a very viable club. It has been successful with lobbying the federal government for monies. That's in the report. And if we actually contribute this amount of money to the club's intentions to attract grant monies and their own monies, then we're going to have a very credible tennis complex there in our city. And it will actually meet the intentions of this council to actually have less poorly attended, poor surfaces and poor amenity, to actually have good amenity, an attractive place to go with good equipment and good surfaces and courts and fencing and everything else. And this is a great example of that. And I'd like to take the opportunity to actually thank the staff for their work. There's a lot of work being involved in this. Tennis Australia, Tennis South Australia have been involved in this. I've been to meetings down there, and they're well supported by the peak bodies. And I urge you to support this proposal.
I was just checking the voting requirements for a rescission motion. Look, the background is that we've reached a dead end, essentially. The good news is that we've headed off a development plan for mass housing on the Glenthorne Farm space, but unfortunately we haven't been able to make any further progress, and it's not likely to be made in the foreseeable future. So the logical thing is to just defer our efforts until after the state election. That's hence the recommended wording. Councillor Byram?
I would like to move the motion, but I just want to ask a question first, because there's just one aspect of it that I'm a bit uncertain about. When we first looked at this, one of our intentions was to be able to encourage and to really support the idea of opening Glenthorne Farm up. And that is the one thing that I'm just not happy is not covered currently under this motion. So I would, with everyone's concurrence, like to make sure that somehow we actually say that we acknowledge that we still need to look at somehow encouraging the opening of it to the public. But some of this project that we had previously was to also help promote that idea. And so by deferring it fully till next year, I'm just wondering how then that is going to be covered.
Wanting to pursue the opening up of Glenthorne Farm, but I've come to the conclusion that we have no further realistic avenue at this time.
Well, could we keep in there that the CEO continues with discussions with Adelaide University and the government about what is available for opening it up? I'm concerned about the community in that they really are wanting to see this happen. And by us just having it the way it is and we're deferring it for till after the election, that people are feeling we're putting it on the back burner again. And so I want to just make sure that the public are aware that we have that focus still.
So what about something like that the Mayor and Chief Executive take advantage of any opportunities to further lobby for the opening up of Glenthorne Farm to suit Council's objectives?
Yes, I'm happy with that.
So if we had that...
And I'll then move the motion.
Thank you. And while that's being written up, I can advise just today I had a letter back from the Planning Minister, John Rowe, QC. The reason he wrote back to me was because I reported to him that efforts to... extract further information from the university had hit a dead end, and he wrote really a simple acknowledgement, it's available to members, but a simple acknowledgement stating that he remained available to bring us and the university together should that be possible, words to that effect. But we've had a clear statement from the university that the shutters are up, and hence it's very difficult to know where to go with it. But I do appreciate what you're saying, Councillor Byram. So it's good to have that in there. There may be opportunities, we never know, that might actually arise before next year. So that's been moved. Seconded, Councillor Westwood. Anyone speaking against? I'll put the motion then. Those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Sorry, carried. Those against? Carried by majority. If it needs to be, it's an absolute majority of the council. Anyway. Does it need to be? Okay. Lovely. Page 57. Council's draft 10-year strategic plan. This is ready to go out for community consultation. So, Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, so I would like to move this motion as read. And I do want to commend the staff on the amount of work that they have put in so far to this, and that it has come to the Infrastructure Committee, and I'm really impressed with how much work's been done so far.
And I thank them for graciously taking on board a few of the Mayor's humble suggestions. Councillor Telfer?
Sorry, it's extraordinarily difficult to come up with measures that are meaningful and worth working on, and we look forward to these measures at least showing some directions forward, because each area has got some measures to do with livability or nature sustainability or the way we engage or how we try to make our city better with better technology, our prosperity and our connectedness. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it progresses.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. Those in favour, raise your hands. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Page 84, asset optimisation. A couple of reserves that we're ready to take the next step with. Someone like to move? Councillor Hull to move.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'm willing to do this. I realise that obviously the hands didn't go shooting up to move this motion, and I can understand that. Because of a perception that councils, particularly councils of the past, have chosen to flog off open space because they can. In this case, we all know that there is a bigger story behind this, and I can only hope that in moving this, that at least I'm portrayed in a light that, as I did last night with talking to a lady on the phone for about 2 hours in regards to Louise Avenue, that there is good intent behind this. And the good intent is, as you know, that the sale of these properties will go into a kitty that has been a long-standing kitty, a kitty that I actually was part of creating back in 1997 or something like that. Now, as a consequence of having that kitty, that reserve fund, the real term, is that we're actually able to do Jervois Street, which was spoken about tonight. If we hadn't have taken that measure to make sure that any sales of assets, and there were some during that period, there was one in Hendry Street in Morpheville that I put my hand up for, that money went into that kitty, only to have it all those years later used to buy $1.5 million worth of land, something like that. It's a good news story, you know, it's a winner. And I can only hope that we can convey this to the community that this is in their best interest, that it's not just a short-term gain to pay off debt. We're not in that much debt. Our rates are going down, and we're able to deliver. Now, not only is the sale of this land going to have that potential to buy land, but also to upgrade reserves. There's no point in having a lot of reserves with bugger all on them. There's nothing in it for the community. And there's so many reserves that don't have that much on them. So this is all about creating capacity. Now, in regards to Louise Avenue, it's one building block. Like, unless that building block's on a corner, what can you do with a building block in terms of offering any meaningful opportunity to do much at all? And in the case of Louise, it's only there by virtue of a land development. In other words, the developer gave that land as part of their open space contribution. There are others around the city that are important, like Elizabeth Ryan Reserve on a corner that was bequested to the council. We should leave those alone, and the community value those.
Councillor Hull, your time's up. You're such a long-standing champion of open space in your ward that I think that should safeguard you against criticism for moving the motion. Councillor Byron?
Second.
Sir, any opposition?
Sorry, can I talk to
him? Oh, yes, please. Councillor Byron, go ahead.
Thank you. I want to second Councillor Hull's comments there. And, yes, it is one that perhaps people do wonder whether they should be putting their hand up to move and second. But it is something that I've talked about with a lot of residents. We are looking at trying to keep rates down. We're trying to look at what we are spending our dollars on. After the World War II, we had a lot of things that were built and donated by residents, and then when they couldn't maintain them anymore, they handed them over to council. That was a lot of buildings and things, but we've also got lots of little reserves, as Councillor Hull has talked about. We have to now make the hard decisions on when they are little house block sizes. Really, is it in the best interests of all our ratepayers to maintain those, or are we better to do larger things? Like we have been doing just recently. So it is not an easy decisions to make these, but we have to make the hard decisions. That's what we're here for. And we have to think about our ratepayers and the future. So I do support this motion as it's written.
Councillor Vlescu.
Yep. I just saw some of the feedback here, but the one on page 103... actually highlights some issues. They're suggesting the money goes towards the Bowker Street Oval, but would we actually consider whether some of the issues they've raised here in perhaps the discussions that happen in at a ward level, but also in relation to parks, because they're talking about, or what else we're doing, because they're talking about upgrading the tennis court, installing a water tap, so the barbecue can be... So this actually is giving us some intel on some of our other things. So I just want to check whether this is going to be incorporated anywhere else apart from just left in the report, because they've raised some good points.
That's a good question. So what...
So basically they're saying it'd be great if the proceeds from the sale could be used to further develop Bowker Street Oval. This could be done by upgrading the second tennis court, installing a water tap near the barbecue area so the barbecue can be cleaned after use. If this can't be done, then the barbecues need to maintain regularly. So you've got someone with some civic pride here. And install more seating and shade, install sails over the play area. So it's reflecting what we want to do, and obviously that's part of our new direction.
I understand the question. So would... Order. It's not a... Is that a point of order?
Well, Bowker Street Oval's in another city.
No, well, yes, that's not a point of order. If Councillor Vlescu wants to champion Bowker Street, he can.
In that case, then they can provide the feedback. Because we've mentioned it here that there's an oval nearby. Have we provided that feedback appropriately?
The question, which could have been a bit shorter, but what will staff do with the feedback that it's come from residents, even if it's not directly related to the reserves, which are part of the process? Ms. Dixon.
Through the chair. So what we do is analyse the feedback that we've received. We pass that on to the relevant areas when it's an asset that is within our council as well. We also respond to the respondents who have given that feedback as part of the consultation process as well.
Thank you. I think I can put it to a vote now. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now on page 110, third-party water supply options, really just to make it possible and encourage staff to seek further opportunities to sell water that we are, in a sense, creating through our wetlands, etc. Councillor Telfer to move.
Yes. I'd like to speak to it.
Oh, yeah, please go ahead.
We've used federal, state and council resources, and we've invested it in water recycling, particularly at Oakland's wetlands. This water management into a dedicated business unit makes sense. We don't want to go into creating a section of the Act for our income and our expenses out of it. What is exciting is the fact that we have been able to sell $40,000 worth of water to the Gateway, who are the group that are watering down the New South Road as they build it at this moment in Darlington. So it's going to good use. It's a good project that is using this water. Probably next year it'll be $50,000 that they'll need. That's a great project and a great distribution of the water. Further than that, there's a whole lot of opportunities that we still want to explore, and in exploring them, if we can manage to link to the bus depot and sell water to Adelaide Metro, then we get water income back that we can continue to regenerate. So there are costs in getting a pipeline to Adelaide Metro on Oaklands Road, the depot, but having done that, there's a distribution of water and an income back. So this all makes good business sense.
Thank you. Question from Councillor Byron.
Just a question on that we're looking at the third-party water supply here. Should we also be looking at the update on the water supply into Tonsley at the same time? I thought they should be connected.
Well, because that's a report for noting, if we get to them, I'll suggest that we move all of the reports for noting en bloc.
Okay, because...
You've got questions there?
Yeah, because in relation to that one, I was just wondering why we missed the time frame on that one as being a potential business.
Perhaps Mr. Lyons could answer that.
So that second report, Councillor Byron, will summarise that we're now looking unlikely as that as a potential business. So there is a significant funding gap between our offer and what SA Water's offer is. And the Mayor on our behalf wrote to the Minister and received a response from that. We were perhaps secretly hoping that something might happen to close that gap and that we might reflect on the local, state and federal funding that had gone into it, but that wasn't forthcoming. And so the Tonsley option is not really looking a likely outcome.
Yeah, the question actually was, why did we miss that formal written proposal by Council back in November 2016?
Sorry, Councillor Byron, could you draw...
On the letter that came to the Mayor, it says that one of the reasons why we didn't get it was that there was an absence of any formal written proposal from Council by November last year.
Oh, okay. That is correct. There was no formal proposal, but we did table informal proposals, but they simply weren't competitive against the alternative SA Water proposal.
Okay. Councillor Hull, are you seconding? Thank you.
Members, what an absolute gem we have with this Glenn Ricketts fellow. What a gem. Honestly, I hear his name bobbing up, not only with water issues but other issues as well, and gosh, we are lucky to have people like that in our organisation. Councillor Telfer has made some good points, but look, I, in terms of the Minister's letter that's in the agenda tonight, like a lot of other things by this government, it's more reasons why you can't do things than why you can. You know, there's no empowerment, there's no encouragement. It's always a negative, and you know, they seem to be even struggling to find reasons why they can say no rather than yes. And that really bothers me about this state. You know, it's a regressive position to be in, and it's a shame because they should be encouraging this project. The irony is that the federal and state governments put a lot of money into this already, along with the council. Why wouldn't they want to be fostering this project? And I have to wonder, is it because of the state government's relationship with SA Water, which is an overseas company? And, you know, I guess I can go down the conspiracy theory here, but...
Councillor Hull, I just have to bring you back on a point of relevance, because at the moment this motion before us is just to set us up to be in a better position to bid for water projects in the future.
Yeah, I agree, Mr Mayor, but at the same time, when you actually are given hurdles to jump over to actually bring this about, and not being given the assistance that you would expect from progressive state government, that is a challenge for us, and it just makes the work by the council staff even more valued, given that they're working in an unhelpful environment. That's how I see it.
If there's no one speaking against, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Page 114, Reserve Street Reserve Dog Park Community Survey. They came back with the idea they'd like a shelter and a seat while they're watching their doggies. That doesn't seem unreasonable. Councillor Byram?
I'll move as written, thank you.
And Councillor Westwood seconding.
Is this reserve called again?
Isn't it Reserve Street Reserve? That's the name of the reserve. Councillor Valescu?
Would just a heads up to the elected members and the staff, just be very careful with the placement of the toilet. We had some issues at Hazelmere Reserve, which is the unofficial dog park. We actually had to spend money to move it because of the location. So that's, I guess, something that just exercise some caution, because people do not want to look out their bedroom or lounge room window and see the pan. That's just one. But also you've got other considerations like safety, septed principles as well. So staff and councillors, you know, tread very carefully.
I think the ward councillors will have that in hand. Certainly placement of the toilet is very important. You wouldn't want to miss. So if there's no more discussion, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we go over to a different reserve, Gervois Street Reserve, or Gervois Street Reserve, if you prefer. The community evaluation, and of course they have thought of an idea for shelter and picnic tables as well, and why not? So in the absence, we don't have any members from the ward, but Councillor Byram to move, Councillor Valescu to second, but Councillor Byram to speak briefly.
Yes, well, I'll acknowledge, I know that Councillor Pfeiffer would like to move this one if he was here tonight. And so in his absence, I'm more than happy to move for him and endorse this, and thrilled with the prize that has been just recently received on this one, and the good comments that are being received regarding this reserve. So more than happy to move it for him.
Wonderful. Councillor?
It's a very positive venture that we've taken. I have noticed a bit of a trend in regards to rubbish our rubbish bins. So hopefully, if we can get a little bit of feedback regularly as to where the problems are, what they are, and how we're monitoring them. Because you've got a great park, you've got a lot of buy-in, but smelly rubbish, and especially with dog parks, you know, smelly dog business rubbish is not ideal, as well as, I guess, household waste, which is alluded to as well.
If there's no more discussion, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Next we go to page 163, the vexed question of LGA membership fees. Now, of course, when the matter came before us a bit over a year ago, Council decided to take the reasonable approach, not necessarily in the greatest self-interest of our own ratepayers, but we thought we would balance those interests with those of the rest of the state, and our views were totally ignored. So if councillors wish to put something forward which is the most advantageous to our own ratepayers on this occasion, I note that option 4 in respect of the one flat amount per council with no tiers is the most advantageous option. Councillor Byrom.
Move that we suspend standing orders so we can discuss this one fully.
Could put my mic on. I'm interested. I'll be honest, I found it very confusing to work through all these options, so I'm a bit of a loss as to which one I'm actually wanting to recommend. I like the option that we looked at before where the very small councils were protected from any significant increase, the ones that got less than 1,000, but the middle range of councils, of which we're just at the top of, shared responsibility for payment, and I just wondered, I know it's a big ask, which one of those options would meet that criteria in your opinion?
Through the Chair, you're right, it is quite a complex situation. I really don't have a straightforward answer to give you, Councillor, other than to say that the figures that are presented for members as per the A3 sheet in front of you make it very clear as to what the financial benefits are for the City of Marion, but I'm sorry, I can't give you an answer on that.
Yes, Councillor Hull.
As Mayor Hannah pointed out before, so the question is, if we actually go for the best possible position, is that a bit like a union log of claims where we actually seek the best outcome and then maybe we'll get something a bit more reasonable than we did last time?
Well, who knows? Councillor Byrom, you kicked it off. Anything to say? So I asked Mr. Mifsud to prepare some analysis of the different, of the, in fact, the 4, 12. Well, when you break it down, there are 23 options. So he's done some analysis, and he may be able to assist now. Thank you.
Okay, through the Chair, there's effectively six different models. Each model's got four options except for the fifth model, which says modified flat charge retaining 3x cap. What I'll do just quickly is just refer you to some of the pages in the attached document that you've got. So on page 2 and continuing over to the top of page 3, that explains how the current subscriptions are calculated. So that's the $94,000 that we currently get charged. The bottom of page 3 is where you refer, where they refer to in the document about the base case. So that's one of the main options, or option 1, that was looked at previously after the LGA board made their decision in May 2016. And each of the options that you've got on your A3 sheet actually come off of comparing to that base case. So the base case for the City of Marion effectively doesn't result in any change in our subscription under the base case formula. However, the different options under each of the six models, depending on the circumstances, certainly do. And I'd be more than happy to go through any or all of those if you'd like, but I'll leave that to you.
Do we have any idea as which are the likely options to be considered?
You would think that they will, bearing in mind that the whole structure of the LGA is that there are many more smaller councils than larger councils like us. So because it's a pseudo-democracy, they'll come up with something that suits the smaller councils. In other words, we wouldn't expect there to be no population tiers. It's likely to end up with three or five population tiers as it is now, and we're likely to be probably in the top tier. So there are different ways of breaking up population tiers. That model that has RTSA population bands has something to be said for it, based on the remuneration tribunal bands. So there's some kind of objective or at least external reference point to them. You'll see that option 4 under RTSA population bands would certainly be a saving for Marion, but we're really guessing, we're just going on the principle that they're likely to keep population bands, and they're probably in fact not likely to make any change at all. Mr. Mifsud.
Thank you, Mayor Hannah. There is one particular comment that I'll draw your attention to in the attachment that you've got. If you please refer to the bottom of page 6, there's a note 5 there, and that refers to considering in a phasing in option, which may be, depending on the option that you choose, may be more palatable to the smaller regional councils, because it means the impact would be phased in over a number of years, to say 3 to 5 years, for example. So the benefit to councils like Marion would be phased in over that period of time, and similarly any increase, albeit mostly marginal increases, to the smaller regional councils would also be phased in over that period of time.
I think, given that last time we tried to take the smaller councils into account and it was ignored, that this time that we need to work out what we want, and I'm suggesting that we actually go for what we want, which is likely to be the no tiered, no capped, either in the one flat charge or the modified flat charges, and that we try for that, but we allow a three-year moving in phase so that the small councils that may have to pay, say, instead of $10,000, $16,000, but will use as much of the resources as perhaps our council does, because they will get advice when they need it, they will have some time to modify. So when we move back into council, I would like to move a motion that relates to that, says what we're doing, says we want, firstly, the one that helps us the most, the one flat amount with the no tiers, option 4, and then the modified flat charge with no cap, and then suggest the 3 years, because in all of this we have to find a way forward that makes a stand for the City of Marion.
Well, I think I'm getting very close to resuming standing orders, but I've got a couple of comments. Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, I mean, going through the options, I would like to recommend the modified RTSA population one. I know that might not be popular to some of the smaller councils, but looking at the way it's distributed seems a lot fairer. The biggest loser, unfortunately, or maybe not, would be Onkaparinga, as it's got significantly greater population. But in the whole scheme of things, that means their bill goes up 14,000, and most of the other councils have a much smaller increase, especially the smaller councils, of around 1,000. So that would be my thinking, that if it's population-based, that's a particularly fair way of working out charges.
Councillor Glasgow, what did you want to say?
Yeah, I guess the LGA president mentioned just having an extra tier with Onkaparinga on top and then the savings to flow. So we would no longer be on the top and there'd be some saving. I was just wondering, you know, which one that might be or where that sort of...
Mr. Mifsud?
Through the chair, that would be the RTSA population bands, which is Model 2, or the modified RTSA population bands. Both of those increase the banding from 3 bands, as currently is the case, to 5 bands.
All right. I mean, should we have a straw poll first, whether we're... A couple have been mentioned. As Councillor Telfer said, that the one flat amount per council, no tiers, or the RTSA population bands. If we just pick those two to test the waters, we don't have to do anything, quite frankly. We don't have to respond. But put your hand up if you prefer the one that Councillor, or the option Councillor Telfer suggested. Put your hand up if you've got two or three. If you prefer the RTSA population band, option 4 is slightly more for there. So, look, Councillor Telfer, do you mind if we test this other option? So would someone like to move accordingly? Councillor Crossland, to move that we...
Modified RTSA population band option 4.
Okay. Yes, and would you like that with a 3-year... as Councillor Telfer said, a three-year phased-in option
would be appropriate as well.
Yeah. Okay, is that seconded? Councillor Byram. Councillor Valeska had a question. Procedural motion. That motion wouldn't be in order. It'd have to be more specific. Look, just to give you, in answer to your formulation of a motion, we have two other curly things from the LGA which we could probably pass over. What's the no? We can't.
Feedback. 28th of
how unrealistic. Okay. As for, I mean, playground progress report doesn't matter too much, but the reports for noting can be moved en bloc probably. But yeah, those two LGA things, I mean, they're things you could talk about all night. Time wasters, just to distract us. But sorry, how long did you want to extend for, Councillor Valeska?
20 minutes.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Oh, Councillor Crossland. All those in favour, think carefully, folks. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? The motion is carried by majority. Now, Councillor Byram had seconded the motion. We're just checking the wording on the screen. Councillor Crossland, make sure it's what you're after, phasing in a period of three. So that looks good. Any further discussion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by a majority. Thank you. Now, you know, I'll just say one thing. When I go off to the LGA general meetings, and they have dozens, if not hundreds, of motions, most of the councils, especially from the country, come along with a predetermined position for them. In other words, they must spend literally days going through the motions across from coming around from all around the state and talking about them for hours. So let's not do that. Anyway, the next one, Adelaide Hills proposed change to voting method at local government elections. Now, I don't see the need for change myself, but they want a different method of voting. Well, you can read it for yourself, but it's basically to exclude informal votes, and it's to allow a single first preference vote to be sufficient, I think. Can I have advice from staff about that? I think it would just allow a one vote for the candidate, wouldn't it? Yes, that's right. So it makes it optional preferential, which means that you'll have the experience. I studied the case of Queensland when they, at a state level, they introduced optional preferential voting. As soon as one party sees that it's to their advantage to say, do one only, because we don't want the other side to be getting preferences from minor parties, suddenly everyone wakes up that you can just do a one, and it becomes a feature of the landscape for every election after that. So as soon as people realise they can do a simple vote for one, that's what they tend to do. So you lose the preferential voting quite substantially. Now, of course, people from England, in my experience in the community, think that's great because that's what they've done in England and they think it's fine to do it here. But, of course, there are advantages for compulsory preferential voting in the sense that the least disliked candidate ends up being elected. So, look, that's my summary. Over to you. Someone move a motion. I'd have to think about whether that suits me or not. Councillor Appleby.
I'll move that we support the status quo, Your Worship.
This is a moment when conservatism shines through. Thank you. Did you wish to speak to it?
I do. I think we already have low voter turnout at local government elections, and I don't think we should be encouraging people to dilute their votes further. It makes sense that they should at least have to select the number of positions that are available. If it's changed to simply putting a one, they might mistakenly believe that there's only one councillor to be elected per ward. So I think it makes a lot more sense to keep the status quo.
No, similar lines. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your similar lines. Anyone speaking against the motion? Against the motion, Councillor Hull.
Look, you know, having Councillor Appleby on council is like having Caleb Bond on council. And it does make things interesting, I guess. I tend to agree with the Mayor of the Adelaide Hills on this. If we can actually make it simpler for people where they can actually give a vote, one value, one vote, that's the way to go. It always annoys me in local government, Mr. Mayor, that in order to make your vote valid, you are forced to give a preference to somebody that you might despise, somebody that you think is unworthy of holding office, just to make your vote valid. And I have a problem with that. Like, there was one particular fellow in my ward, I won't mention any names, Mr. Mayor, but, you know, sometimes I had to put down a vote for him as a second or third preference just to make a valid vote. And that's an issue. Now, if we can actually make the system simpler and increase the valid votes, in other words, we get rid of a lot of the invalid votes, then that's a good thing as well. There's multiple reasons why you would support this. If you think about the logic of the system, in particular, you being forced to give a preference to somebody that you know, for whatever reason, is unworthy. And that, I think that's the strongest point of all.
I am going to support the motion not to keep the preferences. Being on council, I guess, is being part of a team, and it's not just about the individual. And I think that, you know, if we looks like we're in a situation where we're the only palatable candidate, then we should be, you know, out there in the community encouraging other people that are palatable to nominate. And I think also, you know, we have a divergence. But also, you know, it's not just about the individual, and I think we need to, you know, recognise that we'll have differences of opinion. And I think generally we've actually worked quite well on this council of having different positions, differences of opinion, and it not getting personal. And, you know, if someone can't choose between the two, they can always say, please choose your number two for a valid vote. Or if they don't want to have one person even getting, they can do more than the numbers required. And people are used to also numbering, as we've changed with the Senate laws, whatever people may think, Senate voting laws, and state and federal.
Ms. LaCrosse? I'm speaking against the motion. I agree with exactly what Councillor Hull has said. I know for a fact that there were quite a number of people voted in the last council election, and their vote didn't count, which goes against really the preference vote in the first place, that they did only put one person down, and therefore their vote counted for absolutely nothing. And I've also had similar experience. I don't know how I can change it. I get to vote in the Adelaide City Council, and I go through and I cross off all the people I definitely don't want to vote for, and then I realise I've got to add three people back on again, and I spend another 10 minutes rereading and go, well, I don't want any of them, and so in the end I just basically close my eyes and choose one to put on, otherwise my whole voting form would go in the bin. So I agree, if there are three or four people on that voting paper that you don't want to vote for, you shouldn't be forced to pick someone just because they're on that list.
Perhaps people take my advice from the Senate vote when I number for every candidate. You start at the top, and then you start at the bottom, and you hope that when you meet, you don't get two numbers the same. But anyway, enough the mover in reply? Nothing to add. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? It's carried by majority. Rightio, 15 minutes to go. What else have they got in store for us? Okay. Page 183, sorry, local government candidates elected unopposed, which I think is a fantastic idea. But, this is pretty harmless. I mean, what they're saying is that if someone's elected unopposed, then they still put out sort of they publish the election information about them. I mean, it doesn't do any harm, does it? All right. This is... So it's not that straightforward after all. Preferred option, 1, 2, 3, or 4. Yeah, no, well, you're right. Let's do something minimal. Councillor Telfer? Well, I'm glad you've thought that through, Councillor Telfer. That sounds good. Is that seconded? Councillor Vlescu? Any further discussion? Then I'll put that motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. We're just going to make sure that Councillor Telfer's wording is accurately reflected in the minutes. Page 100. Well, now we have a few reports for informational noting. I'll just highlight the topics. Playground Framework Progress Report. I hope our manager didn't stay for this one because that'll be dispatched fairly quickly. That's just saying it'll come back next time. Update on potential to supply water into Tonsley. Well, that's for us to read and we've had a bit of a discussion about that already. Work health and safety, highly important topic, but we can read the stats there, which aren't terribly bad. On page 192, utilisation of vacant commercial properties. Really, we're just noting the report. And staff are going to go on and, you know, do a few more good things with it. So I'd suggest that we move those en bloc. Move Councillor Byram. Did you wish to speak or ask about any of them? Thank you. Councillor Vlescu, was it? To second? No. Councillor Crossland. They're all jumping. They're keen on this one. Councillor Crossland to second. Thank you. Any question or comment?
Just a comment to, as a congratulations to staff regarding the injury at work management and the ongoing trend downwards. That's a great effort. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy to take on board any other comments or questions, Councillor Vlescu?
Just in regards to the vacant properties, I'd like to thank the team involved in that. Obviously, what you would think the property owners would want to achieve is not necessarily what they do, and there's other imperatives or other blockers. So I guess moving forward with this is really about looking at where not just the opportunities lost, but also where things start to cause a nuisance. And I think, you know, looking forward to more discussion as to how we can discourage derelict properties and situations where these things are causing a nuisance in our community. And there are a few sites that come to mind in the northern part of the council. I'm sure there's a few littered around the place.
Thank you. And just on that topic of the vacant premises, probably a few members would have been surprised at the fact that when council staff have gone along to the owner of premises and said, hey, would you like a pop-up shop or some sort of social objective enterprise in there for a short time? They've said, no, not interested. No, thanks. Off you go. Now, that led me to think that it might be possible to levy a higher rate on properties where a certain proportion of commercial premises are left vacant for a certain period of time. And I'd mentioned to Mr. Mifsud that perhaps, for example, if in a particular commercial property that three-quarters of it had been left vacant for three-quarters of the year, in other words, you've pretty well got an empty property sitting there, that a higher rate could be applied. And clearly that would be a discouragement to leaving properties vacant when even just to put a short-term tenant in would be good for the neighbourhood, perhaps have a socially useful service provided and avoid paying this sort of higher rate. Mr. Mifsud, have you made any initial investigations on that?
Mayor Hannah, we've commenced exploring what options may be available and we're still working through that process and we'll incorporate that information in the pack for next week's forum.
Oh, very good. Thank you. Councillor Vlescu?
Question on that. I was just wondering whether that would be a general increase on all properties in a category and then a blanket discretionary reduction for those that don't fit into the ones we think need to to get a high level. So, for example, if you've got five shops, they fall into the category, they're increased, and then the one shop, I'm saying different locations, that perhaps has been vacant for 3 years, that's covered in graffiti, that the owners are saying, yeah, we'll do something, or not doing anything there, and it's causing a problem. They're the ones that would not get the discretionary rebate and would have, in reality, be paying higher rates.
Councillor, I'll ask Mr. Mifsud to answer, but the words discretionary rebate certainly ring alarm bells with me, because you immediately, unless you have very clear cut rules for who's in, who's out in respect of rates and rebates, you're inviting staff to be in a very difficult situation, for one thing, and secondly, you're inviting challenges to the rating. So whatever it is, it has to, I think, be black and white. But Mr. Mifsud, anything to add?
Through the Chair, certainly in what we're investigating at the moment, we'll be exploring what options are available in accordance with the legislation. It's quite restrictive, but we'll certainly be exploring what options may be available to Council.
Really, I guess, will we also explore that we're not to kicking people while they're down as far as their property goes, especially if there's a shorter term vacant period?
Yep, through the Chair, absolutely. The legislation will be quite black and white in that regard, I expect.
Councillor Westwood?
I have to agree with what I think Councillor Vlescu is getting at, in particular not charging upwards but sort of bringing it down for the people who are benefiting this, the community. So I think if we can take some kind of approach and give people something back for helping the community, I think that would be better than the other way around.
Okay, Councillor Hull?
Would a good example of what we're targeting here be a certain service station on Marion Road?
Yes, Councillor Hull. Without naming that certain service station just up a little bit from the mosque, yes.
Yes, that's the one. Near, what's the name of the traffic lights there?
Sixth Avenue,
Sixth
is it?
Sixth Avenue. Yeah, I think that's a very big target, Mr. Mayor. It should be recorded in the minutes.
That wasn't a serious one, was it?
No.
I'll take that as a rhetorical then. I'll put the motions, all those in favour. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And I believe, just checking, that concludes...